Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Wonderful to be able to worship the Lord this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's one thing to go to church, but there's another thing to go to church and the presence of the Lord is there. Amen. You know, we think of the writings in the Bible where the child was born after the Spirit of the Lord departed and the Ark of the Covenant departed and said, Ichabod. You know, and I'm sad to say that the majority of the churches in our land, in America, the great land of America, the great supposed to be Christian nation, has got Ichabod over the door of many of the soul churches. And you say, that's a terrible way to start a service out, Brother Rob. And I said, it's a wonderful way to start a service out because I was just testifying that our Lord has not departed us. Amen. Amen. He is here. He's in us. He's through us. He's with us. Amen. How many coming together in His name this morning? Amen. Amen. You coming together in the name of the Lord. He said He's in the midst. He's present. Amen. Some are waiting on the coming of the Lord. And I say, praise God. Amen. But I'll tell you what. When you come to know who you are in Christ and that He never leaves you nor forsakes you, you know that He's walking with you, supping with you, fellowshipping with you. He's in you, through you. Amen. You're not in some kind of despair waiting on His presence or waiting on His coming. When He comes back to this world, it's coming to the Jew, brethren. The church is teaching a thing that the Lord left us, 2,000 years ago and we're waiting for Him to come back. He said, go and tarry until you're endued with power. Anybody know what that power was? What was it? The Holy Ghost. Amen. And the Bible said that the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Amen. So could I say the Holy Ghost is our Lord and our God? Amen. I think I can, right? Amen. So the thing is that go and tarry there until you're endued with power. The Holy Ghost came to them. Amen. And they were filled with the power of God. We're not walking in despair. We're not walking like we've been forsaken. Amen. We're not the forsaken. We're the chosen of God. Amen. We're God's children. We're God's elect. Amen. Praise God. He's given us everything that pertaineth unto life is what the Bible says. Amen. And I'm just walking and rejoicing in it. Amen. Well, don't you believe He's coming back? I say He's already come.
Yes.
He is coming back to this earth to set up a natural kingdom here for a natural Jew. But we're the true elect of God.
Amen.
You said we don't have to, make everybody else wrong. I didn't make them wrong. I'm just saying they're out of time. And amen. I'm walking in the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else walking in the high places of God this morning? It's good, isn't it?
Amen.
I come to the house of God this morning to hear from heaven. Amen. And you say, well, it's dependent on you. Oh, my. God have mercy. Amen. It's dependent on Him and Him alone. Amen. And if you come with a hunger and a thirst, the Bible said you shall be filled. So the dependency is putting over upon you. Do you have a hunger for the Word? Do you have a hunger for the things of God? Hallelujah. Feels good, doesn't it?
Amen.
Is it okay to feel good? Amen. Hallelujah. You want somebody to come to church and go, oh, my. I just don't know if I want to be here this morning. Oh, come on. Have mercy. Amen. I come to the house of the Lord this day. Y'all be seated this morning. Amen. Lord is good to us. Amen. I heard Brother Pete testifying the facts that had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Amen. You know, and there's people who have wonderful Thanksgivings outside of God that don't even have the Lord in the presence of their home. And they get together with their families, and they're thankful for their family, and that's all okay, amen. But brethren, we are the people that have something to be thankful for, amen. I have a gratitude to my God, amen, and real thankfulness to Him, amen. And if you ever get so rich and so haughty and so arrogant that you don't have gratitude and thankfulness to God, you're in really serious trouble, amen. Just received a letter from a man incarcerated down in Georgia. He was sharing with me how his world had come to an end. I'll tell you what, you keep going on in your world and you create your own little world without God in it, it'll come to an end. Sudden destruction. He lost his wife, his mother, his father, amen, all within about 2 years. And he lost his job and got incarcerated all within a couple year period of time. I mean, it looked like calamity had struck. And you say, what do you say about that, preacher? I say, man, I'm praising the Lord God for allowing the afflictions to come to this gentleman's house. And you said, are you rejoicing in the death of his parents? I say, absolutely not. I'm rejoicing that in the day of calamity that God visited this man, pulled him out of the mire, amen, pulled him out of the dung heap, amen, pulled him up and washed him and cleansed him. It took the suffering and the afflictions for him to come to know God. Amen. And that's what we rejoice. The Bible said all things work together for them who love the Lord. Amen. And we've got to realize somewhere that if you're not going to serve God in obedience, you're going to come to meet Him in sacrifice if you're His chosen, if you're His elect. Otherwise, the Bible said you're bastard children. Yeah, that just simply means you don't have a father. Amen. Hallelujah. We have a heavenly Father, amen. A spirit within us crying, Abba, Father, amen. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to be the redeemed of the Lord, isn't it? It's wonderful to know that your name is in the book of life. You know, many people go through religious realms and they say, oh, I'm born again. You know, we have an evangelical type country. You know, we've had these messages go forth. You know, well, you say this prayer and ask God in your heart. And you believe, you know, and you shall be saved. And you say, well, Brother Rob, you're surely not going to lightly esteem or mock the word of God. And I say, absolutely not. Amen. But it goes much greater than that. Amen. And you say, well, don't take the simplicity of salvation away. I would never do that. Amen. I would never, ever do such a thing. But you know, how many people don't know their own heart? As the Bible said, is continually evil and wicked and divisive. And there's many people that think they know God in their heart and they've never seen him or never heard his voice. Amen. And never followed him. Let me tell you, when a person receives the infilling of God's Spirit, the attributes of our Heavenly Father come to them in part and in measure, and they start growing in the grace and knowledge of God. It's not hard to tell a child of God, brethren. You're not a child of God because you attend a church. There's many people attending churches all over the world and all around many places that don't have God's Spirit. Amen. The Bible even talks about the ministers of Satan, brethren, and they transform themselves into these angels of light. You know, he's the master of deception. Don't you know that we're living in a day of gross deception? Amen. The Bible said in the end time, they'll put you to death thinking they're doing a master of service. You know, brother, that's the Bible. You know, we go to expose what the Bible teaches, saying that people get upset with you. Say, well, you're self-righteous. You just think you're better than everybody. No, it's not that at all. We just have to unveil the word of God and let people know we're in a dark, dark day. When they take the mouthpiece away from the ministry and you can't use the name of your Lord and God that the forefathers of this nation founded the strengths upon the word of God, and they start taking that rights away from us and they start giving them to the sodomites and the perverts. And when the president of our nation stands up and talks about a filthy pervert named Jenner, and he said, well, this is a real example of an American man. Hey, I tell you, things are messed up in our nation. You say you sound anti-American. I am. I'm a son of God. Yeah, I'm thankful I was born in America. When we talk as a man, I've been all around the world. America's a nice place. I'm thankful for that. We're a blessed people. Amen. We're fat. The needy people, the so-called needy people in America are rich compared to many other places. But as the great apostle Paul said, I don't want to speak to you, you know, as a man. He said, I'd like to speak to you as unto spirituals. Okay, so then if I speak to you as unto a spiritual, as you're spiritual and I'm spiritual, we're not going to talk about being Americans. We're not going to talk about the loyalty to a nation and a people. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ as our Lord, our God, and our King, and he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen? And all preeminence goes unto him and him alone. And we don't put anything before our God. Amen? The Bible said that we're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. That means that we're not of America, we're not of this world, that we are from the kingdom of God. Amen. And we are sent into this world as the light of the world. Amen. When you've been born again and that old man has passed away and been buried in a watery grave of baptism in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, then you come forth in the resurrection. You say, oh, we haven't resurrected yet. Maybe you haven't. I have. The Bible said we're the children of the resurrection. What did Jesus say when he went down there and he was going over to Lazarus' tomb? And they said, oh, are you talking about, you know, this future event, this resurrection? He said, I am the resurrection. Isn't that what Jesus said? I am the resurrection. Come on now. I am the resurrection, he said. And we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, brethren. We are the resurrection. You say, what happened when you got crucified with Christ? The Bible says in Galatians, the second chapter, said, I've been crucified with Christ in the life that I now live in this flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God. What is that? It's a child of the new creature. Amen. The old thing has passed away. The first birth, the old man has been buried. Amen. You know, it's not just emotion. It's not just a formula, brother. The old man has been crucified with Christ and he no longer lives. We got to believe the word of God. And now I come forth as a new creature in Christ. The old things have passed away. So what is the new thing? I'm a son of God. Come on now. The Bible said, beloved, now. It didn't say, beloved, someday you're going to take your last breath and you're going to be a son of God. It didn't say that, did it? It said, beloved, now. Beloved, now. Anybody know what now means? Yeah, he's a God of now, isn't he? He's a now God. Amen. We need to know who we are in Christ, my friend. Too many of us walk far below our privileges as a son of God. If the Bible again says, beloved, now you are the sons of God, we should walk like sons of God. The Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And when you're led by sports and you're led by football and baseball and basketball and recreation and you're led by the world, then you're of your father, the devil. You say, are you going to actually come against sports? I'm coming against carnality. The Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God and the carnal mind is death. We're the sons of God. Do you think Jesus Christ walking among the earth would take time to be at a ball game when there's people dying and going to hell? Or do you think he's going to be making preparation to reach people? Well, that's why I went to the ball game. I thought somebody had to go there and bring light and reach them. That's impossible. Try to tell a guy about Jesus while he's watching the cars go around. Come on now. Let me tell you about Jesus. What'd you say, sir? Come on, isn't that ignorant? It ain't going to happen. And about the time you really get your heart and start to reach a man for the Lord Jesus, and all of a sudden he's on his feet, jumps up because some rascal ran across the field goal. Come on now. And it just don't work. It's hard to have a man in your home nowadays and get his attention. You're trying to talk to him about the Lord and say, brother, let me talk with you about Jesus. And man, he's got his phone right there. Oh, hey, looky here. Old John, man, got blessed with 20 cents off for some ribeyes. Brother, I was talking about God. And then all of a sudden, little Mary is expecting. Social media, big hindrance to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, but we're using it to get the Bible out. Well, Satan's sure using it to get his Bible out, his word out, his mind out, his theology out. You see, we're in a mass day of understanding. We don't need Jesus. Now we got Google. If you don't know, just ask Google. He knows everything. What's funny about Google is you cannot know something about a subject and you just Google it in, and all of a sudden now you're the master. Man, you know all about it. Come on now. Well, don't you believe Google? I said, preacher, I know you use Google. Sure I do. I do, but let me tell you something, brethren. We need something as the Holy Ghost to filter and discernment the gifts of God. Because I'm going to tell you, everything the internet says ain't right. They come against great men of God, men that were filled with the Holy Ghost, men that were about the Father's business, amen. And they have some theologian, some master of theology get on there and blast great men of God because it doesn't line up with their lukewarm, dried up doctrine, amen. And then you go read something and say, I know about that guy, he wasn't right. I hear young people speak against great authorities of men of God that God put in the earth. And they'll speak against because they read about it, because maybe their college professor doesn't agree with it. We need to be careful. Take heed to the things that you hear. We need to be cautious, my friend, of what we eat and what we take. I've had people come to this church, they have fear, man, because they hear some things. And I said, let me tell you something. When you are a child of God, you have nothing to fear. God will lead you into all truth. And if something, if it doesn't bear witness with your intellectual mind, it's one thing. But there's things that your intellectual mind may not perceive, but your heart, if you're a child of God, will be drawn to it. The deep drawing unto the deep. Let me tell you, the Bible says that we, the ministers of God, the sons of God, are the stewards of the mysteries of God. A mystery is a secret. And I find that many people in the nation that we live in, things are secret to them. They do not know the mysteries of God, the mysteries of godliness. Amen? They don't know them. And you say, what does that make you better? No, it makes me accountable. The more people don't know, it makes more accountability to me. I wish everybody knew. I wish everybody was so theological correct, I could say. I wish they were, but we're not. It's in a dark, dark day, brethren, and things have been changed and modified and perverted and lightened and weakened. They rewrite Bibles in the day that we live in. They're rewriting Bibles because the way that the Holy Ghost inspired and breathed it is too offensive. It just offends me a little bit too much. Let me tell you, I'm not afraid to offend people. You say, well, the Bible said you're better off to put a millstone around your neck, preacher, as to offend a little one. I said, I'm not afraid to offend people. I'm not going to try to offend a little one. I mean, little one's got God's spirit, and you love them and help them. But when you got a guy that's been in church for 35 years and knows everything and he's offended because of the gospel and the word of God, God ain't going to put no millstone around your neck. He's going to shake your hand and said, you need to let the reprobate know that there is a God. Amen. Raise up your voice like a trumpet and cry out, reprove and rebuke and exhort. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. We're serving a mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't speak out of an arrogancy or an overconfidence or a haughtiness or thinking that I speak out of a fear for the people of our community and the people of the land, brethren. And the thing is we got to understand the obligation that you have and I have as a body of believers in this day and hour. We're the light. We're encompassed around a great cloud of witnesses. We are the light of this world, brethren. And we are commissioned of God to bring light, and light eradicates darkness. And a lot of times we sit back and we put all the responsibility on the preachers. But brethren, You're the light to this world, and you got to bring light into your workplaces. You got to bring light into everywhere that you go that people could perceive and receive from Christ. Amen. You have a great obligation. God's equipped you. He's anointed you. He's blessed you. Amen. And you got to allow Him to give you. Don't bury the talents. Many people, they bury these gifts and the talents that God has granted them, and they walk with a fear. But perfect love, the Bible says, casteth out fear. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I made mention of this the other evening, but we think of the Laodicean Day Church. And we think of this church time and the interpretation as people's rights. And that's where we're at now. Everybody wants their rights. You see, I'm sorry if this offends you, but sodomites don't need rights. It's perversion and it's against the laws of God. They don't need rights in the capital or in the nation or in anything or in the house of God or in the church. They need to repent and they need to get born again. That's the right they got, to repent of their wickedness. But when the church accepts it and ordains them and stuff, now we've got people's rights. But you see, they're talking and pushing for rights, but they've taken the rights of being a Christian away from us. We can't talk about our God in the schools, but they could talk about Allah. They could talk about Buddha. I was in Washington, D.C. a few months back, and they had in the Smithsonian there, they had this big federal paid thing for honoring Buddha. And it went into all of the worship, Buddhism, all the different stuff and everything, and it's paid by the government, and it got a government building. And so, you know, I'd like to see them take and got behind Jesus on something. Oh, we can't do that. That offends me. Take the name off of that. You know? They're taking the name out of everything. If I was going to go into teaching this morning, and we might go there, I don't know, I'm a servant of the Lord. And you say, well, what do you have in your notes? I'm not quite sure yet. He's writing notes to me on my heart all the time. Amen. But you know, I could take you back into the early church. And one of the first things they tried to destroy was the name of the Lord. If you'd go back and read in the early church, the apostles, when they were taking them in and the disciples before the law, they told them, they took them and beat them. They commanded them and said, we don't want you to speak that name no more. That's what they did, wasn't it? They said, we don't want you to speak about that name no more. They don't like, the devil fears and trembles at the name of my Lord and my God Jesus. You see, there's been an attack against the name of God for many years, brethren. The Catholic churches, they started going more and more ritual and more worldly. Catholic interpretation is Catholicism is a universal church. You see, I'm Catholic. Okay, I believe in a universal church. But the organized Catholic church has become the great whore. It has failed the Lord God. It's departed from the doctrine. The Bible says this about Jesus. He said, if they come with any other doctrine than what I preach, let them be accursed. Well, the Catholic church is cursed, and their most holy pope is cursed, and all the sisters and the nuns are cursed, and all their fathers and priests are cursed. Amen? And you say, that's offensive, preacher. It should be offensive that you're walking in false doctrines and following false gods. Amen. I'm called to preach God's word. And if you think I've violated the scriptures anywhere, then you need to challenge me. But I'm preaching God's word. It said again, if they preach any other doctrine than what Jesus Christ preached, let them be accursed. Well, he said he had no mother. And they called Mary the mother of God. God didn't have no mother. Had no beginning, no end. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, well, then who was the Son of Man? The Son of Man, brethren, was birthed without the loins of man. And yes, he did. The Son of Man did have a mother on this earth to bring forth this. That wasn't from earth. Amen. He was both Lord and both Christ, the Bible said. Both Son of Man, both Son of God. So we got to make him twain. Amen. Two. We got to make him two. Both Lord and Christ, Son of Man, Son of God. Now, so we start differentiating and we start trying to understand Catholicism. Now they pray to Mary. And Jesus is the mediator between God and man, and he's a jealous God, and there is no other way. So I'm just showing you, why are you showing us the failures of Catholicism? Because they were the first to start removing the name of God, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. They changed the formulation for repentance of sin in 321 A.D. One might ask when I start going this, they say, are you a oneness preacher? And I said, no, I'm serving one God. Are you a Trinitarian? I say, no. I'm a servant of the Lord. You see, Trinitarian isn't a biblical word, or oneness isn't a biblical word. The Bible does talk about one God. Amen. Now, the thing is, what the Bible says, as I quoted a minute ago, the Bible says in 1 John 5, it says that the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost said these three are one. The Bible also says that when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. The Apostle Paul spoke about it. That was a mystery, wasn't it? But we're stewards of the mysteries. We know what that means, doesn't it? You say, well, that's your wife over there. You guys become one in the flesh. And I said, well, it does apply to that. And it can. But most people, when they go to the interpretation of that, they talk about they become one in one mind, and that would be one in the spirit. But it said become one in the flesh. Paul said, I show you a mystery. I know it sounds like I'm darting around here a little bit, but we're going to follow through with some things to help bring revelational doctrine to people. That's what we're called to do. Amen? How many know the Bible? And if somebody raised their hand, if they could show me where I'm not in the scriptures, at any given time, I'll stop and give you an opportunity to speak. I'm called in defense of the word. I'm not defending a denomination. I'm not here to defend oneness, two-ness, three-ness, Trinitarians. I'm not here to defend the Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Church of God. I'm here to preach God's word. Amen. And many denominations over the years, they had great founders and great men of God that were before the Lord, and they turned them into denominations. They did just like Catholicism. They started making modifications down through the years. Started and relaxed. Well, this is a little bit too strong. This offend mama. This offend granddaddy. This offend uncle. You know, and they start backing off on things. Come on now, we watch it happen all the time. In the Bible, it talks about an inner man and an outer man. Is that correct? So if I got an inner man and an outer man, I got to make myself twain like the Lord Jesus did. Is that right? So then if I go to the scriptures again, New Testament doctrine, and it said that I got to take up a cross daily and mortify the man, the deeds of the flesh, daily. Now if I'm mortifying something and killing something, then there's got to be something else that's living. Correct? Galatians, the second chapter, 20th verse. What does it say? I've been crucified with Christ, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Okay, so what is faith? Faith is invisible, according to the scriptures. I could take you. Okay, so you say, well, faith is invisible, but then yet it brings forth a substance and an evidence. Okay, now when the doctors gave me a death certificate, you know, they told me that I was dying. Okay, but by faith, I said, they something they couldn't see. They couldn't see the invisible work of Christ in my life. But I said, no, sir, by faith, amen. By faith, amen. By faith, doc, it don't matter what you say. You know what? With all respect, doctor, I appreciate your education and your schooling. But, sir, you're a liar because my Bible says different, amen. I got another doctor, amen, that is over you, amen. He is my Lord and my God. Then by the faith that I spoke in His Word, and by faith in believing in His Word, all of a sudden the thing that was invisible come to an evidence when they started running more blood tests and started checking things. And they say, hey, we can't find this death sentence no more. And I said, that's right, because my God brought evidence, amen. Come on now, saints of God. That's what we believe. We bring the invisible things of the third heaven into an existence in the natural things, amen. For people could perceive and see. See, that was the whole purpose of Jesus Christ. The invisible God, the Father, invisible. No man has seen. No man knew. They were taking and making images to worship Him. Golden images, stuff all through the Old Testament and stuff. But God saw that He had to bring a manifestation to man. Amen? And that was the Word made flesh. The invisible Spirit of God came and dwelled within the fleshly tabernacle of a man to bring the revelation or attributes, the understanding of our Savior, of our Lord, of our God, and our King. Amen? And He brought these to man. Praise God. Amen. Amen. This is what He done. This is what Jesus, the Word, made flesh and walked among us. Amen. And He came in the image of what? Yes. See, people don't like to hear that. But see, that's what man is, the image of sin. And our God came in this image, and God took the image of sin to the cross of Calvary and nailed it to the cross. For we can have salvation and life. You see, that's not what we worship. We don't worship that image. You understand that? That was the fallen image of mankind. And He came in that image and took that image to the cross of Calvary and was smitten and done away with and said to no longer know Him in that image, in that flesh. Come on now. And when He came forth, they didn't recognize Him. And He came forth in the resurrection and the power. Amen? That's what we are today. We're the sons of God. You see, and the only way that we can believe that is by faith in God and bring it into a revelation or a manifestation. And you say, but brother, there's only one God. And I say, yea and amen. But we're bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, part of a many-membered body. Okay, well, let's go on for a moment. So we've got some things laying on the table here that we're going to have to clear up if I can go into the scriptures, okay? Amen? Well, let's go on a minute. So we go back, and I say the name has been trying to be removed. So they took the disciples, these apostles, And they took them and promised, and they commanded them, said, don't you speak that name no more. And they sent them out. And they went out magnifying the name of the Lord. They were worthy to be beaten for his name's sake. That's the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible said there is no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. We don't ever want to remove the name of Jesus. The government's doing it today. And the churches since 321 AD have been doing everything they can to remove the name of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about churches have done it. So the Catholic Church being the first, they removed the name of Jesus in baptism. The Catholic Church is the one that went into the Nicene Council, and they went before and they brought all their priests together, and this is what the council is about. The one thing they did in that particular Council of Worms is they removed the ability of the priest to marry. The doctrine is pretty clear in the Bible. If a man is overtaken by lust and desires, he needs to marry. It would be better than burning. Well, they removed that, and that's one of the reasons that the Catholic Church is full of filth and perversion. Are you here to smite the Catholic Church this morning, Brother Rob? I gain nothing by that. I'm trying to show you the revelation of the Lord. Amen? And I'm going to show you who the daughters of the whore are. It's the Protestants. And you say, oh my. You know, you think, man, preacher, you need to be careful. And I say, oh, sure, I do. I need to be careful and take my time to make sure that you understand that you're not in the clutches of Satan in false doctrine. That's where I need to be careful at. Amen. I'm called to preach the word. Amen. And you say, well, you're arrogant. No, it's not arrogance. It's the boldness of Christ within me. Amen. And I'm going to bring forth the word with demonstration and authority and power. Amen. And raise up the voice like a trumpet. It's not about me, brethren. It's about him and his word. Okay, so we go into the scriptures and we find that they're trying to remove the name of the word. And we find Catholicism and the Nicene Council. They go in and they say that they removed the name of Jesus in baptism. Now, when you go to Matthew 28:19, it says, go into all the world, baptizing them in the name. Now, listen to me. It says in the name. It didn't say in the names. It said in the name. There's only one name, brethren. It said there's only one name given. And it's the name Jesus Christ. There is no other name. That's the only name that remits sins. It's the only name, brethren, that brings salvation to mankind. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. He is our Lord and our God and our King. Now, the Father is invisible. Is that correct? No man has seen him. But the Father, the invisible God, came into man, into this body that wasn't created in sin and had no sin, Jesus. And the Father came in the fullness in that. Now, when Jesus was walking there among men, Philip came to him and he said, when will we see the Father? And he said, I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. How can you say you have not seen the Father? Some will hear me speaking like this and say, well, you are a oneness. But the oneness don't like Brother Rob, I'm sorry to say. I'm not trying to line up with anybody. I'm not trying to line up with the oneness, the two-ness, or the three-ness. You understand that? I'm not trying to do that. I got to preach God's word. And I got friends in both camps, brethren, ministers that are wonderful men of God, that are anointed of God, love the Lord with all their heart. Some of them need doctrine. Some of them need to slow down in their ministries a little bit and get indoctrinated by the word. And some of these ministers need pastors. Some of them need the oversight like the early church had the apostles. They need oversight. Help them in some doctrinal things and get them on board with the doctrine of Christ. Now, so in the Nicene Council, they take the name Jesus out of baptism. They go to Matthew 28:19. It says, go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We find then in the scriptures that he says to go into all the world, baptizing them in the name, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We go over and we find the fulfillment of those scriptures in the book of Acts. That's the church. Is that right? The book of Acts is the early church in the beginning of this church age. Is that right? Okay, so we got a foundation in the book of Acts. So now we go into the scriptures and we find that he said to go and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Name. Didn't say names. Brother Randy's a father. Brother Ed's a father. Brother Andy's a father. Brother John. There's no authority in father. That's a title. There's only one name given among men that thou shalt be saved. That's Bible. One name. It's our Lord and Savior Jesus. He is the one that brought remission of sin. Amen? There is no other name given among us. So now, if we go back to Matthew about 20, you can put it up on the board, brother. We could go to 29:17, I believe, is what the scripture is. Matthew 28:19, but you go back to about verse 17, I believe is where I was wanting to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But go back one more, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Okay, now this is letting us know that the 11 were there. These were disciples. They were disciplined into this way. They were disciplined of God into this way, right? So they were there. Jesus knew what they had been indoctrinated in. You know, Peter was there, and Peter, you know, when he said, "Who do men say that I am?" He said, "Thou art the Lord, my God, the Christ." Amen. And he said, "Upon this rock, upon that revelation to build this church." Well, he was there at this particular time. And it says, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. Who were the ones that doubted? Are they speaking of some of the 11 that doubted, or some that were there doubted? There was others there now. So now we got some unbelief there. And we do know that Jesus in many times spoke in a veil. Is that right? They say, "Why do you speak, you know, parabolically, or why do you speak in parables?" He said, "Because it's not for all to know." Amen. But we're the sons of God. Amen. And it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Where's all the power given at? Amen. Praise God. And it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name." There's no S there. Is that correct? Is this a King James error? Absolutely not. There's only one name given. It says, "In the name of the Father." Now, the Father said that he sent Jesus in his name. It's pretty simple, isn't it? In his name. And then Jesus said that I'm going to send one in my name. And he was speaking of the Holy Ghost. So what is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Okay, but no, now wait a minute. Don't jump to no conclusions now. Don't you jump to no conclusions. So we can say here, simply speaking, that the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Now we can go over to Acts, I believe it's 2:38. It says, "And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Well, why didn't he say it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? "For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Amen. Now let's talk about this for a second. Let's meditate and think on the Word for a moment. Are you trying to convert me to something? Absolutely not. I'm trying to bring the Word of God. It's the Word that sets us free. Amen. And I deal with people all around the world, and I get into these different kind of camps, and they've got you under a little fine line that you're going to speak exactly like they speak and walk exactly like they walk. And brethren, I could get into some doctrine. I've been involved with Pentecostal churches for many, many years. You know, I've been in a lot of different theological disputes. If you got a steeple on your church, you're pagan. Or you have Christmas, you know, you're pagan. Hey, brother, all I do is talk about the birth of my Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise God, man. It gives me a time, if mankind sets the time that I can testify the birth of my Lord and my God and my Savior. Amen. I'm going to talk about it, and there ain't going to be no theologian going to stop me from doing it. I'm not going to get caught up in the carnality of Christmas, and I ain't going to have no Santa Claus hanging on my front door. Amen. I'm going to be promoting Jesus Christ all the way. Amen. You know, you can't celebrate Easter. You're a pagan. I've heard it all. Hell, but I'll tell you what, you come around here on Easter Sunday, I'm not going to be talking about no bunny rabbit, but I'm going to be talking about the resurrection of my Lord and my God and my Savior, amen. And I'm going to let people know that He is risen, hallelujah, and that I'm a child of the resurrection, and I'm walking in the resurrection power of my Lord, amen. Let's give Him a hand, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes we can get into these theological debates, and we just get everything so messed up, nobody wants nothing to do with anything. So we find in Acts, the second chapter, that Peter being there, one of the 11 there, and this great commission came forth, and he goes forth there, and he commands them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. But in Catholicism, they changed the formula, and they took them down to the water hole, and they sprinkle them, which isn't burial. Okay, there's another error. And they do it in the name of the Father, which is no remission, the name of the Son. We got many fathers and many sons here, and the name of the Holy Ghost. These are titles. Now, I've said this in numerous occasions. My son lives out of state, but if he came to town and he was going to help us here for a few days, and I tell him, I say, "Son, I appreciate your help, but I want you to run up here to the hardware store at the corner, and I want you to pick these items up and put it on my account." Amen? It's simple, brethren. So my son jumps in the truck and he runs down there and he loads all this stuff on the counter, and they ring it up and he says, "Put it on my father's account." Well, they don't know him. Well, who's your father? Oh, I'm sorry, sir. My father's Brother Rob Coons. Oh, I know him. There's the authority. It's in the name. The account was made in my name. There's authority in the name. You understand that? Now, the account of Jesus Christ and the remission of sin is in the name of Jesus. There is no other name. None. None. No other. And we're not going to remove that name. I marvel that ministers get mad at me about teaching this. You know, I said, look, I'm not asking you to go baptize somebody in the name of Bozo, you know, or Goofy, or Mickey Mouse. I said, go baptize them in the name of my Lord and my God, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. That's what they've done in the book of Acts. So we got one scripture in Matthew 28:19 where the Lord was, he knew who he was talking to, and they knew who he was. He just spoke to them in a veil. He said, go baptize them in my name, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I could take you all through the book of Acts, and I could show you in the entire early church in the book of Acts, there was not one person baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but every one of them were, because they knew the name. It was Jesus Christ. It's so simple to me. Amen? And I've had them mad at me. They call me a cult over what I just taught you, or brought forth in the Word. They get mad. I had a minister in a big, large Pentecostal work. He had 22 churches. And I'm sitting there talking to him, and he starts firing on me. I mean, he had 22 of his ministers there. You know, so let's pick on this guy. He's a oneness. I said, sir, I'm not a oneness. Well, you're apostolic. And I said, no, sir. I'm a son of God. I'm a Christian. And boy, they jumped on me, man, and they just started hammering down on me. And I'm going like, wow. You know, they started drilling me, asking me questions, and I'm trying to answer them best I can before them all. And I looked this guy in the eye, and I just smiled. And I said, sir, I'm not ashamed of the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. And that man, I tell you, you would think I punched him right in the Adam's apple. And he got up and walked out. Right before all of his ministers, he got up and walked out. We was in a public place. And I was being crucified. And that was okay too. We go to be crucified all the day long, brethren. But this is the doctrine of the word. Amen? So in Catholicism, they changed it. The daughters of Catholicism, the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, the daughters of the whore, so they'll go back unto her. And the Protestant church has. I had a Pentecostal preacher, and he got upset with me. I just sound like I upset everybody, don't I? Yeah, I'm sorry. But let me tell you about my Lord and my Savior Jesus. Everywhere he went, they were taking up rocks to stone him. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, you know, there was a time you would have plucked your eyes out for me, but now because I'm bringing you the truth, you know, you want to kill me. Amen. So we should be accustomed to that. The Bible says that they hated Jesus first, and they're going to hate you also. Why do they hate you? Because you're bringing forth the Word of God. Amen? And if you're just one of them Joel Osteens that makes everybody happy, and everybody loves you, and everybody, you ain't even called of God. Amen? I guess I shouldn't have called his name. I'm sorry, Mr. Osteen, the great motivational speaker. If he was a Zig Ziglar and he was just going around preaching motivational messages to people, man, I would shake his hand. But he ain't a preacher. You know why? Because he's violating the Bible. The Bible said if they're called of God, they'll turn people away from their sin. And when a man will stand before people and say, well, I'm not going to judge nobody. I'm called to judge. Amen. And I can show you that in the Bible also. It said the least of you in the house of God, the least of you will judge all things. Come on now. And it said you'll even judge the angels. The least of you. And he said, we don't take our matters out there to the world council for judgment. We in the house of God in the church should be able to judge all matters. Amen? And it says that judgment begins in the house of God. So next time you hear somebody say, you can't judge, you just need to turn around and judge them and say, I am judging you. And I'm judging you in your ignorance because you don't know the Bible. Well, the Bible said, judge not lest you be judged. I say, yea and amen. But it says also line upon line and precept upon precept. If I'm a drunkard and I judge you for drunkenness, the Bible saying that I judged and I brought judgment to myself. Sin's not imputed unless there's a knowledge of sin. And when I bring and expose your sin, and I'm doing the same thing, I brought judgment to myself. That's all it's saying. But it didn't tell us not to judge. Two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. How can I know I could walk with Brother John here unless I make a judgment? And when a mother's in a church and the preacher's teaching you can't judge, you need to first run from that church. Because let me tell you, every time a little boy comes to pick up your daughter, mama, you better be judging the little rascal right quick. Am I going to let my little girl go out the door with this sucker, huh? You know, that's what you need to be doing. You need to be making some judgments. Amen? So why would somebody teach us we the sons of God can't judge? We judge all things by the mind of Christ, the mind of revelation, and by this word. Amen. We don't judge them out of our flesh and our righteousness. We judge out of His righteousness. Okay. There was another forerunner. Let's open the Bibles up to 1 Samuel. Amen. Bear with me. I'm not a good reader, but I do have the Spirit of the Word laying in my heart. Amen. 1 Samuel, 2nd chapter. The first verse here. It says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." I would like to think that y'all have this kind of prayer life. "My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in my salvation." You know, there's a lot of victory in rejoicing over your salvation. Amen. We come to church sometimes to worship the Lord. And we say, come on, somebody lift up your hands and praise God. And it's like, yeah, come on. Let me tell you, rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Rejoice in your salvation. It brings victory. It brings strength. It brings power. Amen. And you know, other people be walking in the blessings of God, the anointing of God, and the blessings of the Lord is all over them. Their petitions are being granted and all the things. You're saying, oh, you know, these people are just too charismatic for me. You poor things. Man, somebody just needs to lift up their hands to the Lord and say, praise God. Amen. You know, think of the victory that this sister got. Let's go again. We're gonna try to maybe get through two verses this time. Amen. No. "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more, no exceeding proudly. Let no arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." Amen. Hallelujah. We're just talking about judgment. Amen. "The bowels of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength." Come on, man. Gives us, you know, if you're weak, this should bring hope to you. Amen. If you're weak this morning and you feel feeble and weak in the Lord, this ought to bring hope and strength to you. Amen. He's taking the mighty men and breaking their bows. He's taking their weapons away from them. He's causing them to fall. But he'll take the weak and raise them up. "In your weakness we show God, and he shows his strength." Amen. "They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble." Man, that don't sound all that great to me. It sounds awesome to me. Amen. Hallelujah. "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and he bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and he maketh rich, and he bringeth low and he lifteth up. And he raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among the princes and to make them and inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he that set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by the strength shall no man prevail. The adversary of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his kings," unto his king. I love my electronic Bible. You say, oh, you just got to go back to the Bible and use a page. And I say, yeah, amen. But I'm going to tell you, it's not the way it's written. It's the heart that it's received in. If it comes to you by revelation, if it comes to you by the written page, if it comes through you through the prophetic utterance, if it comes through you by tongue or interpretation, it's the word and it's the spirit of life. Amen. We got to let this word become spirit and life. We got to know that we're the epistles of God, written epistles, read known of all men. And we become the word. We become one with the word. Again, the Bible says bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And we got to be the word. We're the word to the people of this world, brethren. We're the epistles. They got to read the word of God. God is invisible to them. They're not seen, but we're the sons of God, the children of God, the body of Christ, the body of believers, the light of the world. And we come to bring salvation to the lost. And they're looking at us. And if they can't see Christ in you, the hope of glory, then there's no salvation to them. This is how God moves in the earth today. We sit around and pray and think, oh God, you know, somebody, your neighbor's hungry, and you say, oh God, feed them. That's not God's way. God, if you're listening to God when you're praying and asking him to feed him, he's going to be talking back to you and say, hey, dude, open up your cabinets and carry him some food. That's what he's going to say. But see, they don't want to hear him. They want to make everything so mystical and so they just don't have to do nothing. Well, I said the sinner's prayer. That's all he expects of me. Well, since when do you as a father birth a child into this world and have no expectations of him? You throw a biscuit in his room every day? No. You go in there and you say, son, get your lazy hind in out of bed and get out there and get the yard mowed. Come on, that's what dads do. They got expectations. My God, my father has expectation of the sons of God. And he's commissioned us. He's empowered us. He's given us everything that pertaineth unto life. He's equipped us with the weapons of warfare that aren't carnal, amen. He's given us that shield of faith, amen. A breastplate of righteousness, a sword of the Spirit. Why? For we could sit in R&R? No, for we could take our place in the forefront and the battlefield of God. Amen. We got to know who we are, saints of God. Now, let's talk about something here. So we know the story. We know this woman being married. Her womb is barren. We just read the scriptures how she's testifying God. That he's going to take the one, amen, that was barren and she's going to bring forth. The Lord blessed her, the barren womb. We say, okay, wonderful story, Brother Rob. Man, that's awesome. But let me talk about you this morning for a moment. Very understood doctrine here. You see, the Bible teaches Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, body, soul, spirit, natural, physical, spiritual, first, second, third heaven. Correct? So now we got to start learning how to differentiate some things. Now, if I stand before you and say, I'm the bride of Christ, are you going to think I'm a Bruce Jenner? Come on now. I'm not trying to be foolish here, but I'm trying to get you to think a little bit differently. Amen. How can the people of this world, when I stand before them, say, hey, I'm the bride of Christ and he's coming back for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish? Now, if I say I'm a bride, did I change gender here? Sure I did. The woman's feminine. The woman's subjected to her husband. The woman is the weaker vessel. Okay? So here I am, the bride of Christ. I'm weaker. I call upon my Lord, my God. The Bible says, New Testament doctrine, that the woman is saved in childbearing. Okay, so we got to understand the Bible. If you're barren, sister, you're going to hell. You say, oh, wait a minute, preacher. Man, I'll leave right now. You can't say that. I'll say it again. If you are barren, you're going to hell. I got New Testament Bible for that. But now you say, well, you're going to have to explain that to me. And I will. The Bible said a wise man here at the end of the matter. So I'm the bride. If I'm barren, I've just declared to you that I'm going to hell. Because the child is the inheritance to the throne. Amen. Come on now. So I'm the bride of Christ. And I also stand here before you, and I got Bible for this. I say, beloved, now I'm a son of God. Amen. So which one am I? Am I the bride or am I the son? Jesus made himself twain, both son of man, both son of God. So I make myself twain. Is the bride heir to the throne of God? No. Who's heir to the throne of God? The son. Come on now. Well, you're a son of God. Are you telling me you're heir to the throne? I say, yea and amen. And so are you, if you could only believe. You say, well, that's kind of arrogant. No, I'm talking about what he did. You think I earned this? He gave me everything that pertaineth unto life. Amen. He put my name down in the book of life before the world ever was, he said. He was crucified before the world ever was. He predestined me. Oh, are you going to teach on predestination, preacher? I'm only going to teach on what the Bible teaches us. But he said, make your calling and election sure. So if you tell me you're the predestined of the Lord, you're going to make sure of that by walking in the counsel of the Lord. The Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And if you're being led by the flesh, and if you're being led by the world, and by the beggarly elements of this world, I'm going to declare to you that you're not a son of God. Because again, the Bible's right and accurate. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. You know, brethren, we can get into a lot of doctrine here today, and sometimes people can't eat too much. They could take a little bit at a time, a little bit, but let's go on and find a place that we can square up and just on some of the things, because there's no stopping place. We can go all night. We start talking about the Word. I love the Word. Amen. Praise God. Amen. This is what it's about. We come to the house of God to be taught. We come to be edified. We come to get educated. The Bible said that you die like men from a lack of knowledge. Brethren, there's people that are dying. You got family members going to die like men because they don't know who they are in Christ. They die because of lack of knowledge. Amen. We got to believe that we're the sons of God. Amen. That's when we have eternal life. You say, well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that the man part of me, the first birth, has been crucified with Christ and no longer lives. And now the new creature has come alive by faith in God and he speaks God's word. That's what you are. I'm not just bringing this to me. I'm talking about you, my friend. We need to know who we are in Christ. We need to take our rightful place and walk in the counsel and the authority of God, or you'll die and perish like a man. Amen? Okay, now. So we find the scriptures, And I stand before you and I say, I'm the bride of Christ. He said, I'm coming for the bride. He said, I'm coming without spot, wrinkle, blemish. You say, has that happened yet? Well, let me explain something to you. If that hasn't happened, now listen, you got to hear the end of the matter. And I'm going to still talk about this barrenness for a moment. If that hadn't happened, then my Lord Jesus would be a whoremonger. Because if the sons of God have come forth, okay, and he's the husbandman, he said, you enter into the secret chambers of the Lord, the woman saved in childbearing, you enter into the secret chambers of the Lord, and this is what New Testament doctrine says. Now listen to me. It said, ye that are born of God, now listen, I could turn you over there, 1 John 3rd chapter. Ye that are born of God cannot sin. Has anybody ever read that? Why cannot they sin? It said, because the seed remaineth in you and keepeth you from sin. What is the seed, my friend? Well, let's talk about how did the seed come? Through the marriage relationship. Now, if we go into, I'll be real brief, but the water world out here, the Bible said that there's water, blood, and spirit. It said these three agree in one. And it said Father, Word, and Holy Ghost said these three are one. 1 John 5. Okay, if we go to talk about the water world, if I put a peach tree in the ground, what do I expect to get out of it? A peach tree. Is that right? That's pretty common, right? A watermelon's going to bring me a watermelon. Right? Okay, you're going to be good after its kind. The black man put a seed in his wife, the earthen vessel, it's going to bring forth after his kind. She can expect to have a black child. The white man, same thing. The woman being the earthen vessel, it's called a blood seed. So we got the water world, the blood world, and the spirit world. In the blood world, the black, the yellow, the brown, whatever it is, reproduces after its kind. Now we're going to step into the next dimension, the spirit. The seed that remaineth in you that keepeth you from sin is by the Spirit. The same Spirit that dwelled, this is Bible now, New Testament, the same Spirit that dwelled within Jesus Christ, the Bible says, shall dwell in your mortal bodies and shall change you in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, where did that seed come from? Amen. It come from God. He said, it's expedient that I go back to the Father and send one back, the Holy Ghost. The only way that you could receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost is by being married unto the Lord. Now you go to Old Testament doctrine, he said, I'm married unto the backslider. So we got to know who we are. Now you wasn't worth the count, you were worthless, okay? You were in the mire, but by the mercy and by the love of God, he saved you and he washed you and he regenerated you and he pulled you out of the mire and made you without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Okay, you go to the Old Testament doctrine when the woman went through the ritualistics of the cleansings and the washings, they would go before the king. Now, by the washing and regeneration by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we, the bride, go before the king. Amen. And we go into relationship with the king that the seed could come forth, that we could bring forth the heir to the throne of God. That's all Bible. I haven't departed the scriptures nowhere, brethren. Because you're going to have to tell me in 1 John 3, and it said that ye that are born of God cannot sin because the seed remaineth in you. You got to know what this seed is. And I brought out the revelation of the three seeds. It's very simple. It's not hard to understand. If you go back over in the book of Revelation, he said he talked about a mystery. And he said he saw this thing in heaven, the woman in travail to bring forth a child. And he said this woman was in travail to bring forth a child. But as soon as the child was born, what did the Bible say? It was caught up. How many read that? Amen. That child was caught up to the throne. Yes. Okay, now if in heaven, which way's up? Caught up. Now I'm going to say this because you got to understand the revelation of the Lord. I'm going to take you into some scriptures for real brief. And we're going to close in a moment. The Bible said that there's no marriage or given in marriage in heaven. There's no female. No male or female in heaven. But then yet we go to the book of Revelation and here in heaven was a red dragon there to devour a child. We know also the Bible said that this dragon, this serpent, was cast out of heaven into the earth and his tail took a third of these stars out. Stars have to do with angels. And took a third of them out into the earth. These are the ones that are seeking around the dry places looking for a place of inhabitation. We're encamped by around a great cloud of witnesses. We got to get some revelation, start understanding some things. So where was this woman if the dragon was cast out of heaven, but then there's this woman in heaven going to have a child, and a dragon was cast out into the earth, and where was this woman at? The second heaven. You say you got no Bible for that. Well, I do have a lot of Bible. I told you, number one, when the Bible, he said, I don't know whether I was in body or in spirit, but I know I was caught away into the third heaven. Anybody ever read that? I can take it to you in Corinthians, read it to you. Okay, so if I have a third heaven, now, if I come in here to this church tonight and you don't know me, I said, here, I call my third child up. which is my son. I said, come up here, Rob. And I said, this is my third child. Now, you know for sure, you can't tell me I have six, can you? But you know if I got three, that I got two more somewhere. Is that right? Now, if I have a third heaven in the Bible, there must be a first and a second. Is that correct? Now, we go into the scriptures again, and he said that these three that bear witness in the earth are the water, blood, and spirit. Okay, there's three. And it said Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Said these three are one. So we break down body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, natural, physical, spiritual, first, second, third heaven. And we find that there's only certain places that these fit in. Now, Paul again said, I'd like to speak to you as unto spirituals, but I find you still yet carnal. He said, the things that I'm wanting to teach you, you should already be teaching those things. He was reproving them, right? So the things that we're speaking about this morning, yes, we all should be teaching them. You say, well, it's confusion. It's not confusing at all when you get your dimensions perspective, when you can understand. You see, the Father, Word, Holy Ghost isn't three persons. There's no place in the Bible that would even give you that. If we go to the etymology of the word person, first let me start with the etymology of the word gay. Now you see, it would be very appropriate if you knew the etymology of the word for me, and I could stand before you and say, look, brethren, I'm gay. They're kind of accustomed to preachers doing that now in churches. Yeah, I'm gay. I'm not queer. I said I'm gay. And we're kind of being gay right now, laughing a little bit about it, huh? You know, I don't walk with my fingertips out. No, I'm not that kind of weird. Come on now. I'm a man. I think men are supposed to be masculine. I think women are supposed to be feminine. I don't think women are supposed to have biceps. Come on, man. I'm sorry. I just, maybe you call me old fashioned. You can call me whatever you want. But I'm just telling you, I think there was an order in God. Amen. Amen. So the etymology of the word gay has changed over time. And now they're using it to identify something that's filthy and perverted. The Bible said it's abomination. Okay. So now we go to the word person. And the etymology of the word person has changed because of Catholicism, okay? But if you go to the original rendering of the word person, it is something, number one, that's natural, something carnal, and something mortal. Something mortal can die. God cannot die. Why? Because he's the spirit of life. So there's nowhere that I could make my God the Father mortal. There's nowhere that I could make him a person. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. The highest height, the deepest depth. That does not work for a person. And when we got a foolish doctrine through Catholicism that said God is three persons, they're trying to bring it down to the ignorance of man that they could think they could understand this God. That's where the whole problem started. Okay? The Father is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Can't do that as a person. The same spirit that dwelled in Jesus Christ shall dwell in a mortal body. That is the spirit of God. What is the Holy Ghost? It's the spirit of God. Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. 1 John 5 said these three are one. You see, if this teaching separates you from something, you know, praise be to God. But you know, we got to get in the Word. It's about His Word. Amen. I fellowship people that teach it with air. I love them. They're my brothers, my friends. But somebody needs to slow them down and counsel them a little bit and teach them the Word. They've been hearers of the word, but they need to become doers of the word and do as the word says. Even the Bereans, they sought it out in the scriptures. But you see, because of Google, because of the theological institutions, we had two doctors of theology come to this church not long back. And I'm sorry, I don't know much. I'm not too smart. But I know one thing I do got, and I got the spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost in me. And I'd never witnessed such ignorance in all my life. If this is a doctor of theology, I don't want one. They come to my home to convince me of a doctrine that there was women apostles. And I said, well, you're going to have to show me that in the Bible. He said, I sure will. So he takes me into the Bible and he shows me that it said that where the apostles were in prison, that this one named, I think it was Jambres, I'm not sure I can stand corrected, but regardless, whatever it was, said that it was there with them. Well, he said, because it was in prison with him, it made him an apostle. So there's reaching a little bit, okay? So I said, okay, let's go ahead and run down your little rabbit trail here. So then they show me in a Greek concordance that this particular name is cogender. You know, I've known girls named Robin. I've known guys named Robin. You know, I got a daughter named Kim. I had a friend in high school named Kim, a man. You know, there's many names. You know, you got an uncle named Carol. You know, to me, that was always a woman's name. He was the first Carol guy I ever met. But there's many names that could be both ways, right? So now, because this one was incarcerated with the apostles, he was an apostle, so that was reaching. But then it said the name is co-gender. It could go either way. But why did they choose to make it a woman? Why did they not choose to make it a man? He was incarcerated with the apostles. It would be just as, would we could say, 50-50? And that's their strength of their doctrine, to tell me there was women apostles? And I'm thinking, well, you're going in the wrong place here. I told him, I said, don't bring that ignorance out from the sacred desk in this church, please, brother. I said, I don't try to tie the hands of a minister when I invite a guest speaker. But I said, don't bring none of that ignorance out over here. Let's stay with the Bible and the scriptures and the word. Amen. Brother Rob's made alterations in doctrine over the years. Sometimes we get born again, we come into a church, and man, they leading us and teaching us to get away from the drugs and the alcohol and the whoremongering, the filthy language. You know, praise God for that. But we got to keep on going and keep on walking in the Spirit and led by the Spirit and go into the things of God. Brethren, I got filled with the Holy Ghost and I wasn't a theologian. I could have told you nothing about the Bible, honestly. But I got filled with the Holy Ghost by the love of God. So it's not a matter of what you know, but it's a matter of once you've been received the Holy Ghost, it's the Spirit of truth, and it leads you into the truth and leads you into more. The deep calling under the deep leads you into greater things. And we need to get our theological lines correct and right, for we can walk in the Spirit and walk together, that we don't pierce each other through, nor do we break ranks. You see, this is the problem with the churches today. They've got so many doctrines and so many splits. You know, it was one thing to have a Baptist church. Then we had a first and a second, and then we had a third. And then we had a free will. I don't want no free will. I want God's will. You know, and then we had the lukewarm, the backslid, the spirit-filled, the Pentecostal, the Bapticostals. Now we got the fag Baptists. Come on now. I mean, they got every flavor you can want. You know, it's like a smorgasbord. I don't like this. I'm going to eat what I want. You know, when I was a kid, my mama set us down table and said, eat this, boy. I don't like that. Boy, don't let that come out of your mouth, because that's what you're going to be eating. If you told them you didn't like it, you might have got a small portion. Yeah, but you told them you didn't like it, you get a big portion. That's kind of like coming to church here. Don't matter if you like it, I'm going to feed it to you anyway. The Bible said that we have to become His children to enter into the kingdom, right? Y'all love the Lord? Amen. God's real. God's good. Amen. It's okay to have a good time. I love y'all and appreciate you, brethren. The thing is we need to, you know, as we go over here in the scriptures and we're reading about Hannah, she's magnifying and testifying the Lord, praising Him. Amen. God took a woman that was barren and opened up her womb. Now, the thing is I come down to a doctrine. If you are a woman and you're barren, you have no inheritance to the kingdom. I go to the Old Testament. When a woman was barren, just like Hannah, she pleaded with the priest of God or before the prophets of God and different things, would beg them, please, if you would open up my womb and let me have a child, I'll leave the child here to be raised. I'm going to give this as an offering unto the Lord. She said, be lent to the Lord. Because the woman knew that without bringing forth a child, she had no inheritance. Now, the Old Testament is the shadow. Then we come into the New Testament, talks about the object. And then we got the book of Revelation, light. So we have light and an object and a shadow. So we need to understand that many of the things in the Old Testament, brethren, some we could say allegories or types and shadows, many things, Joseph going in the tomb showed Jesus going into the earth. He come forth clean shaven, and then He came and ruled, amen? And He brought salvation to His family that rejected Him and put Him to death, amen? It was a typical of Jesus Christ. We can go all through these things and show that. When we come over here to Hannah, we got to bring it into a present day truth, a revelation. You are the woman, the bride of Christ. He said, I'm coming for my bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. You need to believe that. You need to allow the Lord Jesus to come to you. And when He comes to you, you're going to be just like the Virgin Mary was, and you're going to receive a seed. Amen? Okay, now we know there wasn't no physical relationship between the Father and Mary. But He overshadowed her. Amen, and it was the seed imparted. Now, you're a physical being, and the things that you do are physical. He's a spiritual being. Spiritual God. Okay, so in the mind of Christ and the Spirit, we said there's three different seeds, the water, blood, and Spirit. That seed comes into you just like it did Mary. Okay, she brought forth the heir to the throne, the Son of God. Amen? Now, we do the very same thing. And you say, but we don't bring birth. I said, well, then what is the Bible talking about? You must be born again. Now, if you're going to declare to me that you've been born again, it's a birthing in the Spirit. Now, I could talk about your first birth. You had a natural daddy, right? Natural father. Okay, in my second birth, I have a father. And the Bible says we all have the same spirit and we cry, Abba, Father. Okay? So we're going to have to get into reality here. Okay? This birthing in the Spirit is eternal. The Bible said the things which you see are natural. The natural things in which you see are temporal. But the Bible said the invisible things that you do not see are eternal. That's New Testament doctrine. So the Lord Jesus come along and he said, though you have eyes, you do not see. And they're looking at him. What do you mean I got eyes and don't see? And they're looking at him. Is that right? But he was speaking about another eyesight. Amen. Come on now. He was speaking about another hearing, another ear. You see, you could be totally deaf, can't hear nothing, but you could hear God. Amen. You could be totally blind and walk with a stick, and you have perfect eyesight in the mind of Christ in Revelation. The one writer, that Fanny Crosby, I think is her name, she said that if a minister came and prayed for her and granted eyesight to her, she would reject it. Because she said, I'm afraid that if I got my natural eyesight, I would quit seeing the beautiful things I'm seeing in the spirit realm. Now, there was somebody that had revelation right there. Amen. If your eyes offend you, the Bible says to pluck them out. Amen. And in the Pentecostalism, put too much emphasis on natural healings. You know, you get a guy, come take him out of a wheelchair. Okay, boy, you've done a great thing, and now he's down the dance hall. You take a man that's blind, open up his eyes, now he's lusting after women. You look on a woman and lust after, you committed adultery. So what have you done? You see, come on, we need to get real in the Word of God. We got people walking in the church with 20/20 vision, but they're blind according to the Bible, according to what Jesus taught. And we need to bring doctrine, revelation, and understanding that their eyes could come open, they get the shucks off their eyes, that they could see good when good comes, and they start walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and fellowshipping with God in the Spirit. Amen? And get out of the religious dogma, the religious ways, and the religious realms. Amen? Y'all love the Lord? Amen. I'm glad to be a son of God today. I'm glad that he's opened up my mind and my understanding. I'm thankful that he granted the spirit of revelation unto me. Whatever measure that is, I rejoice in it. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Whatever it is. I know it's gave me the power to come out of the world. It's gave me the power to overcome drugs and alcohol. It's gave me the power to be a separate and a peculiar person. Amen. So I rejoice in that. You may be greater. You might not have a lot more measure than me, but man, I'm rejoicing in what he's given me, amen. And I got enough to share it with everybody, amen. And I want to raise up my voice like a trumpet. I want to shout it from the rooftops. He's my Lord and my God and my King. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give him a hand, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's all stand together this morning. Amen. So the thing is that if you have come before the Lord and you haven't brought forth the fruit of the womb, you haven't brought forth fruit of the Spirit. This birthing is of the Spirit. And when you bring forth this Christ child, this birthing, this bone and bone and flesh of the flesh of the Lord, it's going to have the attributes of the Father. Amen. It's going to walk like the Father, talk like the Father. It's going to fellowship. And you see, it's the duty now of mama. Listen to me for a moment. It's the duty of the mother to correct that child. And if the child won't submit to mama, when daddy gets home, daddy's going to bring some real correction, ain't he? So when you think of your man part, and you've crucified him and he's dead, and now you go and say the feminine part, the bride, now you're nurturing up a child in the way that it should go. And this is where we cast down thoughts and vain imaginations. We say, shut up. You know? Well, I want to go to the ball game. Shut up. You ain't going to the ball game. Disobedient. You disobedient child. Jesus was disciplined. Come on now. He had a mother. Said he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Come on now, we're talking about Son of Man. So now we're talking about you as the bride are going to bring correction. But when that son comes up and takes heir to the throne, that's when the elder submits to the younger. It happened with Joseph and his brother didn't want to do it. Mom and dad didn't want to do it. But somewhere you as a man or as a woman are going to yield to that inner quickening spirit of Jesus Christ, the one that lives and dwells and sups in you, and said, you are my Lord and you are my God and you are my King, and I am going to serve you. I am going to submit to you, and you are going to make all decisions because I'm married unto you, and you're going to make all decisions, and I'm going to walk with you and I'm going to fellowship with you, and it's not my will, but your will be done. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You love the Lord this morning. Let's sing a song or two and we'll close the service. Amen.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
Can you touch the hem of his garment this morning? Hallelujah. You'll find that same virtue of the Lord going forth into you. Amen. And bringing healing to your body. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I feel the anointing of God. Hallelujah. I feel the virtue of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Reach out and touch.
Let's worship
Lord.
Him, saints. Let's praise Him. He's our Lord and our God. He's worthy of all praise, all honor, all glory is given unto Him. It's Jesus and Him alone. He's our Lord. Hallelujah. The King of all kings. Hallelujah.
He's passing by.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Touch the Lord as He goes by.
Touch Him this morning.
You'll find He's not.
He wants to grant your petition to you this day.
To hear your heart.
The altars are open. Are there others that want to come in the altar this morning? Worship the Lord and praise His name.
Your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry.
We love you, Lord Jesus.
Sing by.
Can you just praise Him this morning? He inhabits the praises of His people. Amen.
Supply.
My sister Hannah praised Him. She praised Him in her salvation. Amen. And God granted. Hallelujah. Her petitions. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.
And touch the Lord as He goes by.
Fall in love with Jesus.
He's
hallelujah.
Not too busy.
He'll lead you into all
to
truth.
Hear
amen.
Your heart's cry.
Where's your family?
All sick.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Brother Emmanuel's going to stand in for his family. His wife and children aren't here this morning. Stand in for Brother Randy's wife, Sister April, not here this morning. You know, I think in the scriptures where they come seeking the Lord, amen, for healing. One came and was looking for healing for their child. They said, oh, Master, it's okay. You don't have to go. You just send the word, amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. We're still serving that same God, saints of God. Amen. We've laid hands on people and people were in other states, amen. And as we prayed and we believed, amen, the virtue of my God went to them people in the other land, the other state, and they were touched and the petitions were granted, amen. Y'all believe the word this morning? The Bible said if they're sick or afflicted among you, to let them come forward in the church and the elders, amen, anoint them with oil, amen. As we pray for this family, brethren, let's pray that this infirmity, this thing that we keep getting reports of these different families, but just trust the Lord and pray that it's going to, they say the flu bug's going around. I say, let's just keep on going. Amen. We don't need it over here. Amen. We just let it keep on going. Amen. Hallelujah. But I thank God we got a God that we can call upon. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
He touched me.
Thank you, Jesus. Most gracious Father, it's just my brother stands in for his family, Lord God. And there's a need, Lord God. We speak, Father God, out of need. But we rejoice, Lord God, out of receiving, Lord God, what you have granted to us and given us. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you've granted this brother's desire right now in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I ask you to touch his family in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm thankful our God hears our prayers. I'm thankful that His ears are open to the cries of His children. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Yeah, amen. This brother's been dealing with some infirmities himself. We're going to pray. Just be patient a few minutes this morning. That's what church is about. People have needs. Amen. Some of you elders come around. We believe in the scriptures and the word in this church.
Wow.
Amen. Y'all love the Lord. Father God, I pray in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord, being obedient to the written word. And Father, you said if they're sick and afflicted among you, that we anoint them with oil, that you shall heal them. And Father, as I speak, Lord God, to the airways, and this my brother in the name of Jesus. Father God, I ask you, Lord God, by your mercy and by your grace, Lord God, remove this affliction from this my brother. Father, help him. Father God, I rebuke unbelief in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I say, let this brother commit his works on the Lord, that his faith can be established, Lord God, and that he can receive a prayer of righteousness and holiness and faith. Father, touch him right now in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Open up these airways, Lord God. I rebuke this sickness in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say just simply believe. Amen. Hallelujah. We've seen God move mightily. We've seen death sentences with cancer, where the doctors say they got 3 months to live. We've seen babies that didn't have enough strength left them to be airlifted. They said they wouldn't make it through the night, and God touched and intervened and moved. We've seen deaf ears opened up in the name of my Lord and Savior. Opened up on more than one occasion. We prayed for that little baby in Mexico, and it got new kidneys. There was a lady there that was deaf, and at the very time we prayed, her ears opened up. Amen. You say, what are you testifying about? I'm testifying about my Lord and God. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever, and every generation. Amen. He is our Lord and our God. Amen. And we need to simply believe. Amen. And believe in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Remember Brother Larry, his wife, Sister Ashley, and children. Be traveling back to Georgia today. Let's hold them up in prayer. I think Brother Larry believes he's supposed to be here. You think God can make a way for him? If he can meet his needs? We're serving a mighty God, brother. It ain't no problem, is it, Brother Bo? Man, just that easy, ain't it? Just simply believe, amen? It's not that hard, is it, Brother Greg? Brother John, it wasn't that difficult, was it, Manny? Amen? God will pick you up, move you, amen? It ain't a problem, is it, Brother John? Man, I've got to look around. We got a lot of Georgia boys here, don't we? Amen. Y'all love the Lord? Hallelujah. And thank you, Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophy, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophy, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.